It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And welcome in, everyone. GC Live. As you see, we've got a little bit of a flying solo version here. My colleague, my partner in crime, my buddy Wes Mitchell, taking the day off. I'm not his boss, but I said, hey, take the day off. Stop doing some things. And so Wes is going to have this Monday off, but I appreciate you joining me. And we actually all have a lot to talk about. I'm going to get into everything that we're going to be going over here on the show today. But first, of course, let me tell you about our presenting sponsor here on the show. As always, it is our good friend Clint Hammond of Movement Mortgage. Whether you're looking to buy a home, sell a home, anything to do with a home mortgage, if you got a question about it, if you want to look into it, 803-771-6933 is where you can hit up our buddy Clint. Clint Hammond of Movement Mortgage, also at clinthammond.com. Great thing about Clint, just like everybody here on GC Live, he's going to want to talk some Gamecock sports with you too. That's just an added bonus, but he's going to do an outstanding job for you if you have any questions about home ownership or about mortgages. This is honestly throwing me off a little bit. I'm not used to being this close up to the screen. Normally I have Wes, and normally Wes is a little bit more techie than I am, so normally he is running the show. But thankfully, we have great technology in the year 2024. If y'all have any questions that you want to hit at any point during the show, pop them in the chat. What's up, Nectarios? He joins, as usual, from YouTube. Appreciate you. We're on YouTube. We're live on Facebook. We're live on X. I'm even streaming from my personal X account, which that's pretty cool as well. And a lot to get into. Big weekend, obviously, for the Gamecocks. NFL draft is now in the books. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a big baseball series win over Kentucky. We're going to talk about some recruiting stuff, transfer portal with basketball and with football, the latest that's going on there. And I'm really excited about this. I think for the first time ever, we'll double check with Kev when he gets in the room here, but my buddy Kev Roche is going to be joining the show today, and he's going to actually bring, I'm going to make him bring forth the Kev Roche big board. Kev has a lot of football recruits that he has on the big board. He definitely has some basketball recruits on the big board. We're going to debut that live here on the show, so excited about that. He's also, I'm sure, going to give some takes on the other happenings in Gamecock sports. What's up, Lynn Turner? And what's up, Big Red, with a question on YouTube. So let's start there. Kev, by the way, going to join us probably about 2:10 p.m. or so. And once he's in, we will put him on in the studio here. But let's start right there. Since Big Red brought it up, NFL draft, four Gamecocks had their names called. Several others were able to either get tryouts at training camp, mini camp invites, or undrafted free agent contracts. Mike Yuva from Gamecock Central, who will be doing his normal Talking Tuesdays tomorrow, I'm sure will be going over a lot of that. He did an outstanding job over the weekend with his draft coverage as well. Go check that out on GamecockCentral.com if you haven't already. But yeah, let's start there. Xavier Leggett going round one. Really, I think the draft was not a surprise with how it unfolded, except for the quarterback situation and maybe for Rattler. I wasn't as surprised maybe as some. I was surprised by the gap, right? So Xavier Leggett, let's start with him. He goes early. The Panthers trade up right into the first round to go grab him. Great landing spot for him. What a story, Xavier Leggett, from a guy that honestly had been given up on by a lot of people, including people, you know, honestly, guys and girls, a lot of Gamecock fans giving up on Xavier Leggett because he had not done much. With a guy, his physical tools, you can never really give up on him. Outstanding. Super happy for him that he landed there. Nick Gargiulo going late seventh round to the Denver Broncos. Marcellus Dial, sixth round to the Patriots. That was about the order you thought, right? Leggett, you thought, hey, he's going to go very late first round or very early second. Dial probably, hey, fifth, sixth, maybe slides back a little early. But what I was hearing, probably a later round, sixth round type guy. Same thing with Gargiulo, probably an undrafted free agent or a late round selection. So he goes to the Broncos where Nate Atkins, former Gamecocks tight end, is. And so let's go with Rattler. Rattler was someone where there was a little bit more polarization, where it was best case scenario, best case, probably third round in a realistic sense, worst case, fifth, sixth. And so the surprising aspect of it, I thought, y'all, was you had six quarterbacks taken in round one. Not just round one, picks 1 through 12. Caleb Williams, number one, Bo Nix, number 12. Four other guys sandwiched in between them. Then you had a huge gap, right? When that happened, you go, okay, six quarterbacks off the board. No matter what you think of, hey, Rattler should have gone before Bo Nix or whatever it may have been, you looked at that and said, this is good for Spencer Rattler, Joe Milton from Tennessee, Michael Pratt from Tulane, all these guys that were waiting. Hey, that's probably going to push them up a little bit. Instead, that didn't really happen. Rattler was the next guy on the board, but he ended up going pick 150. And so everything got pushed back, and there's probably a lot of reasons for that. Some teams probably just maybe they felt some quarterbacks were a reach. They didn't want to reach early. They had more pressing needs, whatever. And we'll probably get into this a little bit later in the show, or maybe we'll save it for another day even. But disappointing, right, about the storylines that came out with Spencer, Pete Hamill, Ian Rappaport, and not those guys necessarily, but what was being said. Like the scouts, lazy takes. If somebody had come along and said, hey, Pete Hamill in his first sentence of one of his tweets, some scouts are worried about a 5-flat 40 time or 6-foot tall. Okay. Or if some scout said, we just don't think he's that good. Okay. But the lazy trope of, all right, the Netflix show from 6 or 7 years ago, it's hard to buy. It's really hard to buy. It's honestly kind of disappointing that it was continuing to get out there. But Spencer got his chance. That's the important thing. No matter the reason for the fall, other guys went, probably Michael Pratt from Tulane. He went a little bit later than people thought as well. So it happens. He lands, I think, at a good spot. You could see when Spencer got that call, maybe a little bit of relief, maybe a little bit of definitely some excitement. And then once he saw his name called, you could tell ready to go, right? That quiet, kind of humble confidence. So excited for him. I think he's in a good spot and looking forward to seeing what he can do. NFL draft, again, we'll have more. Mike's definitely going to have more on that throughout the week. Gamecock baseball with an absolutely huge win over the weekend in Game 3, dominant fashion. Gamecock baseball beating Kentucky 10-0, run ruling them and getting a huge win. Wildcats not been shut out at all this season. Gamecocks are able to do it in seven and get a big series win. It looks like in the green room, we have a virtual green room. It's our buddy Kev Roche. Kev, can you hear me? It looks like you're good. You got a thumbs up. All right, we're going to add my buddy Kev Roche here. What's up, Kev? How we doing?
What's going on, Chris? Good to be with you.
GC Live. Now, I told the people this, and then I was like, man, I don't know if that's even right, and I don't want to spread inaccuracies. Is this your first time on GC Live?
Is the debut edition. This is a lifelong dream. It's a big moment. yeah, can't believe I got the invite. This is big stuff.
This is honestly, it's on me. I mean, I don't know why we haven't done this. Maybe because, honestly, not because of you, but you and I might start going down rabbit holes and people might be like, I'm out. You know, I'm not going to watch the show anymore because y'all are talking about crazy stuff. But I promise we won't start putting Kevin, we got the text chain. We're not going to start putting those up. People might not get it. We'll be good. We'll be good here. Everything's good. And I'm going to debut the Kev Roche big board. If you're good with that.
I am good. The people need it.
Yeah, they definitely do. All right. So first of all, let's start with draft thoughts, man. We were just, I gave some draft thoughts. We were getting a little bit into baseball, but give us your thoughts on the draft. Were you surprised by anything? Have any reactions from it? Happy moments, sad moments? Give us your breakdown there.
I mean, overall, I guess start, you know, Gamecock land, was a little surprised that Spencer went fifth round, especially when, you know, kind of the news that was on the draft, it was like mainly circling around the Netflix show, which was like, I thought we moved way past this. So that was a little surprising. I objectively think Spencer's good. Like, I don't know how you could be just still talking about the same stuff they're talking about if you'd watch basically any Carolina games or tape, listen to Cole Kublick or Tom Hart on the Saturday night program. Like, the guy was, he didn't have the perfect setup here. And as far as like O-line play, that kind of is going to inhibit a lot. So, I mean, I don't know, man. NFL arm, all kinds of stuff. But as they listed the quarterback room for the Saints, I was like, okay, this can work. So rooting for Spencer, obviously. Overall, I'm a Bears fan, so I was pretty happy with Caleb and Rome. It's a weird feeling to have your team pick good players. But loved Leggett. What are we doing, man? This one threw me for a loop.
Okay. If I had a producer, Kev, you know, I'm having to do everything by myself today. Right. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have Wes. Normally Wes leads the show. He gives the smarter takes and he does like the behind the scenes tech. I don't know if he would have had Roger Goodell's playing the name queued up. He might have. I definitely don't. So, but let's talk about the pronunciation. All right. So when Goodell said it, I'm like, that's crazy. That's nope, not close.
I fired off a Roger don't know ball tweet. And then yeah. I thought I was in the right. And then I mean, you should probably just call him Zabo and cut out all the nonsense. But
yeah. If he would have gotten up there and said the Carolina Panthers select Zabo, all the Gamecocks would have been like, let's go. And everybody else was like, what? I don't know what we're doing here. Who is that? But you know, I'll tell the story I told you. So the first time I heard Xavier Leggett pronounce his own name, because that's not something that happens a whole lot, right?
Right.
It was before actually this past season. So it took 4 years for me to hear his own pronunciation. And when he said it, I observed him saying his name to somebody, and he said Xavier Leggett. And I was like, okay. I remember being struck like that. I don't think that's right, Xavier. You know, that type of thing. You know what I mean? because I wasn't going to tell him that. I don't think you pronounced your own name right. But then I'm like, well, I mean, that must be right. So, you know, I've just been rocking Xavier Leggett for a long time. And so has everybody else. But I just kind of shelved it, right? I didn't make, okay, mental note for rest of GC Live. radio show, all that. I'm going to start saying Leaguette because I just, I don't know, just lazy or whatever. But that's apparently it.
This was bigger than like Rattler to me. When Beamer kept calling him Spencer Rattler, that gave me pause and I was like, wait, are we pronouncing this dude's name correctly? But
right.
when Zabo said, yeah, I tell him two E's, just hold the E. I was legitimately thrown. I started questioning a lot of stuff.
Xavier Leggett. Yeah, Beamer does have, you know, there are a lot of things we can trust him on. I don't know about the pronunciation thing because we even produced for him a video from Spencer saying his own name. Maybe we didn't tag Coach in it. I'm sure he saw it. I thought maybe he'd think it was funny, but
yeah, he's online. He saw it. Yeah,
definitely online. But you know, he it was kind of like me hearing Xavier's pronunciation. I'm like, no, I'm just not even going to roll with that. So I let it be. Beamer also has Nick E-Man Worry. Have you heard that one?
He's big on phonetics. Sound it out.
Like the syllables are like, you know, it's almost like he's reading it off one of those cards. But anyway.
Yeah, I was about to say, Beamer does have he has a cadence. So you can kind of tell when he's going to go all caps and like really enunciate words. And kind of the same thing. He gets into like these names. He started saying Rattler, and then it just happened. It was all the time just Rattler, Rattler.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Somebody needs to address this. What's going on?
No, that's what we're going with. That's going to be it. But yeah. Great in seriousness, great spot for Rattler. I think with Dial and Gargiulo, that's about what we thought. Spencer, you know, going to probably the back half of what we thought. You know, where we thought he would be. But regardless, good spot for him, I think, with the Saints. I'm not going to pretend to be – I know they got Derek Carr, and he's, you know, oldish, I guess.
There was a Nathan Peterman sighting on the roster, so I feel good there for Spencer's chances. There's a Taysom Hill. I don't know what he's even listed at anymore, what they're doing. But he does control the number 7, so that's a bummer.
Ooh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and there was like a Jake, the quarterback from Fresno State, I think, from like a year or two ago, Jake somebody or other. Either way, I felt like there's a path there, so Spence might be all right.
He might be all right. Good spot for him. Crazy how big that gap was, man. 6 quarterbacks taken in not just the first round, the first 12 picks, and then it takes until pick 150. Spencer was literally next man up. You know, you're sitting there after pick 12, you're like, Spencer's next man up probably. Unless somebody gets a wild hair and is like, let me take Joe Milton or Michael Pratt or something like that. He's literally next man up. They just decided to wait a good while to do it.
Yeah, it was just like next man in a couple days.
Yeah, in a couple
days. I feel like you and Wes fired off some tweets. It was like, okay, quarterback 7 is Spencer. We got Juve out there. We're ready to go. And it took a little bit.
It did take a little while. But all in all, a good day and a bunch of Gamecocks signing, either getting training camp invites, mini camp invites, which is basically a trial, or undrafted free agent contracts. So good stuff there. Baseball, Kev, big win. Now let's go ahead and set this for the people. Okay? You don't have to be subject to real journalistic standards. You only have artistic standards here that you have to adhere to. And so for all of y'all, everybody should know who Kev is, but Kev, he draws. He does drawings. He's very good at it. We actually have – Kev has designed a T-shirt that we actually sell now. And so, Kev, congratulations publicly. New father. How's that going, by the way? You look tired.
A little tired. They're bags. They're normally there anyway, but maybe they're deeper. When last I left to come in this room, everybody in the house was accounted for. So
okay.
I feel like that's the first step. But yeah, we're a month in today. So it's a little different. A lot of bottle preparing.
Yes.
Not a lot of sleep, but we're making it.
Is the drawing schedule still coming along okay?
Yeah, it's still kind of just late night cram sessions as we get toward the end of the week. So I haven't had him in here with me drawing yet. Feel like that might be a little distracting, but we're finding time. We're making it happen.
All right, the website's kevdraws.com if you want to check it out. And if you want to get the Bluff Road Football Club shirt that Kev designed, you can order it on kevdraws.com. You can order it on shop.gamecockcentral.net. Or, Kev, we actually got it set up, the little YouTube technology, right below our show. If you're on mobile, you can click shop. If you're on desktop, you can go and scroll over, and you should be able to find the shirt. So I'm going to guilt everybody into buying it. If you don't buy it, I don't know. I mean, might not be able to get bottles to the kid. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever. So you
use. Yeah, you can throw the baby in there. Like, baby's got to eat. So, you know, decide. I don't want to get, you know, too preachy here, but my baby does need food. So,
yes.
Get a t-shirt.
Yeah, get your t-shirt. All right. So, we got that. Now, let's set your baseline. Big Gamecock football, big Gamecock sports fan, football, basketball, baseball, really nothing's off limits. So let's start with baseball. I know that you are a big Florida Gator hater in baseball.
Proudly.
That team, where does Kentucky rank on that list? Baseball.
We've talked about this before, and it's just Florida from like 2010 on is just permanently on my nerves. So, they've held the number one spot. What's interesting is Kentucky and Tennessee here lately in baseball and football are just, they're edging up. So Kentucky's, they're not on Florida's level. Florida's still classic, but the more Florida comes down and the more they come up, like they're just about to pass each other on some kind of graphic chart. So Kentucky's up there, man. They're just like, I appreciate the mustaches, but it's good to beat them. I think like, in the three big sports this year, or four, with women's basketball too, I think Carolina's got them. Series win, beat them in football.
Yep. Basketball.
Basketball is no problem. Like, we beat them 2 years in a row. I just count those. That's automatic W.
Just hang it up. Yeah.
I hope my sarcasm is getting through there. We don't need comments in the box. But, Kentucky –
when Mark Pope took the job, they're like, look, I mean, you know, South Carolina, you know, you don't really need to try in that one. That's a loss. But the other one.
We'll try to catch them in 1 year. Just build your program. Maybe you'll catch Lamont in like year two, year three. See if you can get closer then.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kentucky don't like. Yeah. And they have definitely not had a good academic. I don't know about their academics. They have not had a good athletics calendar year against the Gamecocks. There's no doubt. But big series win, man, for the Gamecocks. 10-0 on Sunday. Two absolutely insane games on Friday and Saturday, but they're able to come out with a pretty big win. And really, everything's still in front of them that you want, you know?
Yeah, I was trying to take myself out of it and just like watching it as a normal fan. Not a Carolina fan, just somebody else was like, oh, man, those games were pretty entertaining. Friday and Saturdays were, they were off the charts. Saturday, you're off to 6-1. I knew that. I was like, this is too good for the first inning. So I figured they would, like, come back a little bit. Might have just permanently changed the channel to the draft a little bit or NBA playoffs. Just like, they've scored 11 unanswered. I need something else in my life right now. But then, you know, Cena comes back. Carolina's doing this thing where they hit home runs, sometimes twice in an inning. I like for them to keep that up. That's good. To come out and run rule them Sunday, which, you know, that's a quick turnaround. That game Saturday took forever. They always got that early start Sunday. So hopped on them early and, man, got them out of there in 7 innings. That's that was good. And, yeah, from here, well, they put up the graphic of – they were talking to Kingston saying the schedule gets a little easier, and they put up the graphic and it's like Georgia 20, Tennessee to close out the season. I think they were like 3 or something.
Yeah.
And then they had like a Missouri series mixed in. I was like, I wouldn't call this easy, but that's just SEC baseball is more gauntlety than SEC football. It's kind of crazy with the amount of teams up there. So yeah, maybe the talent, we've known the offensive talent anyway, even stemming over from last year, kind of been waiting on it to come and pick up speed. So hopefully, if you're juggling the lineups all year, hopefully this is something and they got the guys hitting. Good to see Casas knock one out. So,
yeah. Yeah, definitely a lot of tweaks, and hey, they worked. I mean, that was a Kentucky again. I said it earlier; they had not been shut out all year. Yep. Hey, they only even lost 3 SEC games the entire year, and their schedule has not been as difficult as South Carolina's. I wouldn't say, but it's still been tough because it's an SEC schedule. South Carolina's has been ridiculously hard. Yeah, that's the reason you're like South Carolina's about to have a break coming up. You know, they only play like 2 top 20 RPI teams, you know, right. Something like that. It's just like, what? So it's a tough slate. Missouri's a weird place to play. Kind of like Kentucky is and used to be even before they got pretty good. That was a hard place to play. Obviously Tennessee on the road. Georgia's got Charlie Condon who hits a home run, I think every other at bat, something like that.
I think he's like legitimately like 5.2 or something. I saw like a 5 number, which is nuts.
Absolutely insane. That guy's really good. So, yeah, big series win. Everything that they want still in front of them. Another thing, Kev, that we got to hit on. This is your sweet spot, I feel like. This is my personal opinion. Let's talk some hoops transfer portal, all right? So, the Gamecocks have picked up some big commitments as of late. No guard yet in the portal class. They did miss on Dakota LaFeu. They did miss on Jameer Brickus from LaSalle, but they picked up some other big ones. The most recent, I know you're excited about Nick Pringle from Alabama.
Yeah, that was man, the job Lamont's done in the portal. I think, like you said, kind of not rounded out fully yet with the guards, but to get and especially these guys that are from South Carolina that are looking back and kind of seeing all the success last year and thinking to themselves, okay, that might be pretty fun to jump back in. Probably, you know, I don't know if they're going to transfer anyway, but yeah, to get Pringle, which I love the team this year. Just, they were amazing. Everything is up. You can't say anything bad about the team this year. Like, I'm sure nobody was expecting 26 wins. But an area they did struggle was finishing around the rim. Like, their bigs, just not a lot of lift there. BJ Mack, kind of more like a highly skilled player, more just take you outside, had moves down low. But when you come into the teams that have like a couple 7-footers and are athletic, that was a tough spot. Nick Pringle can finish around the rim. Very athletic, catches lobs, dunks, a lot of things. It's all like a Nick Pringle highlight type. It's just him catching lobs for like 2 minutes, 15 seconds. And each clip was like 4 seconds. So it wasn't like they legged it out. It was, they were back to back. This man dunks. So yeah, the Nick Pringle, obviously the Cam Scott thing was huge, but to get Nick Pringle, and he's, I mean, coming off watching him in the tournament with Alabama, Alabama's loaded. He played really well down the stretch. So that's like a bona fide, you know, a Jordan Butler, some, we haven't talked about him, but you're kind of, that's more of like a projection, like what he could be. Nick Pringle has done it at the SEC level. And yeah. So that's, I think that's big. That's why BJ Mack was so huge last year. Different players. I don't know if he's as like totally like well-rounded as BJ Mack as far as the shooting, but still to have somebody down low that you can count on, that's huge.
Yeah, I felt like Mack was Jacoby Wright when we had him in the radio studio for the Garnet Trust Hour. He kind of inadvertently gave us a take because I've had a hard time figuring out like who was the biggest X factor last year, you know, because from game to game, it was a different player, but just like overall, like was BJ Mack the secret factor or was it Talon Cooper is like the straw that stirs the drink? And I think you could make a good argument either way. From what Jacoby said, he kind of made it seem like BJ because not a lot of people have a unique big man like that, like a below the rim big man who can still bang down low, but then he can step out and shoot threes. Like that just opens up so much for you. Like you said, Pringle is not going to be that, but here's, let me give you my theory on this. We know CMB can shoot. So I'm not saying CMB now turns into the de facto like BJ Mack role, but you can run some sets where he is stepping out and you're looking for some shots for him too.
No, that's a good point. I saw somebody else bring that up as well. Like you, with him coming back, obviously you're just expecting to see some growth. Kind of like, yeah, scoot out that range a little bit, probably going to be a little more comfortable, even though he looked, I mean, super comfortable last year from the jump. Just, but yeah, I belong here. Not a problem. Get my weight back up. And then it was all good. But I agree with, I've always thought that about BJ Mack. That was kind of the one, I think, if I remember, he was kind of like the last guy to jump in on the portal. That was like the last big target. And so with the other targets, it was like Stephen Clark, you know, they had Talon. And that was kind of, those were kind of pieces that fit, but BJ Mack was like the centerpiece. Kind of, he makes everybody fall into place a little bit because he's dependable. He can score and can shoot. Like, you can't leave him open, even though I don't think he had like the highest 3-point percentage this year, but he was respectable and he could get hot and knock down a couple. So he was the guy for me. Like, if he hit, I kind of always, every game was like a war going in last year, but if he could hit like two threes or three threes, I was like, I like our chances just because that, if like he would miss some open ones, but man, if he would hit a couple and especially like coming out of halftime or something, then they have to respect him even more. And that just opens up everybody's driving lanes. Like, it was, Michi was the one guy on the team that could kind of like beat his guy off the dribble basically whenever he wanted. But everybody else kind of needed some help. So if you space the floor like that, you can have more room to get moves off, driving lanes. So I think BJ definitely like opened up the floor. I was a little worried, you know, still am. Like, I don't know how that it's going to look next year. It's going to be a different team, obviously. So you can't, you know, it won't, the offense won't look exactly the same. But yeah, BJ was a huge part. That was, if you had to say pick an X factor, that was mine. If BJ was going well, I really liked our chances in the game.
Yeah, and I think during the season I was waffling between those two, and I would land on Talon normally. I think I'm BJ on that one. Although, man, you look at it now and you're like, all right, you can kind of see, you know, like Carolina in the portal, they wanted, okay, we need a big and we need a couple guards. And that's kind of what they've been going for. And it's kind of, it's shifted just because of some various things. But you look at it now and you go, all right, you don't have a BJ Mack replacement, but kind of like in the aggregate, like a money ball approach, I guess. Like, you've got a couple guys that you can merge to kind of be part of what he can do, but then expand some things that maybe he was not as adept at. But man, you look at it and you just say, Talon is going to be hard to replace though. So they got to go find a piece in the portal, I think. You know, a guy that can run the offense and shoot. That's what Talon was, you know. And I think LaFeu and Brickus kind of, they weren't Talon Cooper exactly, but they could do those things. So they'll have to go find one now. All right, we're about to hit your big board, Kev. We're going to shift to football. But first, hang in for me. Kev, do you have any taxiety right now?
Oh, man, this is the read. This is the ad read. I love this. I don't. We got ours done, but it's coming up next year.
It's coming up next year. And so, you know, first of all, if you haven't filed taxes, whew, you probably do have some taxiety. So you can still call our man Larry, 803-462-5576, two convenient locations in Irmo. Tell him the guys at Gamecock Central sent you. And he'll take good care of you. He's helped my family. He can help yours. Super knowledgeable, super helpful. Again, 803-462-5576. That's Larry Slaughter and his team at Liberty Tax. But if you have done your taxes this year and you're like, I think I could do better, or I got some changes coming up, you know, I could plan this thing out a little bit better. That's the big thing. When you're a businessman like Kev, you got to plan, right, in advance. And so he can help you do that. And also, speaking of business, one more to tell you about our friend Andy Ludicky at My Perfect Franchise. If you want to escape the corporate rat race and build freedom through your own business, you can find your perfect franchise opportunity at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Just contact Andy. A couple different ways to reach him. Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net, or give him a call at 404-973-9901. And what Andy does is basically connects you with a franchise opportunity that's going to fit you with your financial needs, what you're looking for, work-life balance. He can take care of all that for you. So, again, Andy at MyPerfectFranchise.net. All right, Kev. So, Big Board is about to make its debut. All right. So when did you first conceptualize? Has this always been in your head? Do you literally write down, hey, I would love these targets from this Gamecock football recruiting class?
It's always been in my head, because if it's just in your head and you don't have written evidence, you can't be proven wrong. Okay. It's permanently in my head. The last couple of years, I was like, I should actually write this down and make sure, you know, I kind of think I can keep track of like 20 or so guys. It's just like, all right, I got enough DBs, enough defensive, never can have enough defensive linemen. But, so it's just in my head, and it's a realistic big board. So we'll shoot for some five stars, but we're not shooting for the five stars unless, you know, they get the Chris or Wes stamp of, hey, we like, this guy's actually reasonable.
Okay. Okay.
So,
yeah.
So it's a mix of we like to keep it realistic as far as not everybody's going to be, you know, like, you're not getting 15 four stars from Georgia. You got to account for the under the radar three star guys that South Carolina, you know, pulls that'll then turn into, you know, big contributors or just like rotational players. So it's an eclectic mix. Yeah.
Right. I like that. It's a baseline of, it's almost like a mix of, well, it, really what it is, to simplify it, I think, is here's my players. This is kind of like a dream class that's also realistic, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. If you both had a dream class, you could just go up and down and say, I'll take a five-star quarterback, 2 5-star running backs, five, nobody, you know. Even Georgia isn't doing that, unless it's like a defensive tackle. Then they're just taking 6 5-stars per cycle, apparently.
Yeah. They're doing that.
Sore subject for us.
Yeah.
All right. So right now, South Carolina has six. Well, they got 7 commitments, but one of them is not revealed. They've got 6 verbal commitments. If I'm not mistaken, 2 of these are on your big board. Shamari Earls and DeMarcus Leach are both big boarders. Is that right?
Shamari Earls and DeMarcus. Yeah, DeMarcus Leach. We might have it written down. This is amazing. Yeah. Shamari, go ahead and write Shamari down. That's a 4-star linchpin.
All right.
And then DeMarcus is the under. What we look for on the big board here is, I'm not going to lie, the name means a lot. If you got a cool name, yeah, it's kind of just, we're taking names. We're looking at pictures and overall look. Like, is the aesthetic good? And then measurables. We DeMarcus Leach is, you know, 6'3". That's a high upside guy right there. Love me some 6'3", 6'4" safeties. So he's from Abbeville, automatic on the big board right there. We're looking good. Kendall Daniels also on the big board.
Let me put him on there. If I had like a spreadsheet version of the big board, I'd put like from Abbeville as one of the columns, and then check.
I'm going to work that out. This needs to be more official. This is, yeah, I should have been more prepared for this.
Well, you get the whiteboard for now.
The whiteboard's incredible. This is way more professional than anything I've ever done. That's good. We're making a big push, and I think I've sent you just like texts of this randomly, probably like a year ago. It was just like, I think we need to start recruiting Virginia more. And Shane apparently was tapping into the same thought train there. The Virginia recruiting has been good.
That's been good.
Especially this class, you know, was kind of getting nervous this cycle. The last couple, we had a DC guy and a couple of DC targets, you know, Tree and Harbor, and then you get Dylan Stewart last year. But this year I didn't see the early like sophomore Chris Clark is up at a DC school piece where he's typing up a quick article. So I was like, I don't know where we're going this year. Maybe it's more Virginia. So Ari Watford was a big board guy. I'm still a little hurt for that. But I do like us throwing in multiple people from the same school and just kind of trying to work our way back around. Yeah. Just if you can recruit his friends, maybe he comes back. You know, just put the bug in his ear.
A decent concept. Okay, yeah. So let's go. How many people are on the big board? Do you limit it?
I do not limit it. Okay. That would be silly to do. I've heard the numbers always work out, so I'm not worried about that.
All right, well, give us – I mean, I'm not going to ask you to give us 30 players, but who else – I even put an X for Watford just because I felt like we needed to document.
He needs to be up there. He needs to be up there.
Who else you got?
Ryan Montgomery, you can put an X on him.
Okay.
So that was my quarterback. Originally it was Deuce Knight. I remember some early traction there. That quickly fell off. So that was all right. We got past him pretty quick. I understood our place there. Let's see. The wide receiver spots. I mean, I would love the guy. I don't know what you're going to do here. The guy Derek Meadows from Las Vegas. I haven't seen a ton. I know Furry's reached out to him. I got the wide receiver room with the coaching changes has underwent some changes here. So I don't know. I don't know what we're thinking there as far as that. I do like. I love Malik Clark. That's another in-state guy. I don't like that North Carolina is now trying to also. To get our kids from in the state lines, it's enough that they take all of theirs from North Carolina, so they could leave us alone.
In Rock Hill, Nolan, I feel like they might be like probably be some type of at least a misdemeanor, if not a felony. You know,
Football City, USA, man, it's in South Carolina
because you're crossing state lines to be like there's like a RICO charge in there or something like that.
Real charges when you cross state lines like that.
Real charges. So Malik Clark, Derek Meadows is a four-star receiver from Vegas who's 6'5".
Yeah, he's tall.
Very tall. He will tall category. He will take an official this summer. Notre Dame's probably going to be tough to beat. We'll put him on here, Malik Clark. There's a couple that I know. I'm going to cheat and look ahead. I know Zayden Walker is on here.
Zayden Walker on my big board since birth.
All right, Zayden Walker, five-star linebacker, brother of Julius Solomon, who will be in Columbia this summer.
Yes.
Jared Smith, I assume, is on here.
Jared Smith would be the current number one on the wish list if we're going to rank him.
But I would have to rewrite all this, but I will put.
You're doing too much already. Please don't erase. Jared Smith's up there. Love the Kalen Williams pickup. He's 6'5", 6'6". We need some size.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And that's also, he's tapping into the Virginia contingent as well.
Yeah.
So we'd like to start a movement up there. The more people we can get, that's good. Who are the DBs? I don't know. You can tell me. I don't know about the Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng. I don't know if that's realistic.
That'll be tough.
We made a top 13 graphic, so I didn't see the black C up there.
Top 13 graphic was made.
He's not like official big board. I would love it if it happens. If it happens, please delete this part of the pod and insert him in there. But that's more kind of just, I don't know how realistic that is. Zayden's definitely on there though. Thinking of more linebackers. Clayton White's got us in the game with a lot of linebackers right now, and it's just an odd feeling because for us to be this proficient at linebacker and offensive line recruiting is it's taking some getting used to. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, and so to that end, is five-star David Sanders on your big board?
He is. Okay. I don't ranking wise, we can still list that as realistic. We're top six. I mean, that's got to count for something.
Top six, and I think Carolina got. I think they got top four-ish in there. I would say, came in behind on the official visit. In the mix a little bit more than they were. It'll be tough. Let's see if I like how Wes put it with David Sanders, who's the number one offensive tackle in the country from down the road in Charlotte. If, he's got all these – South Carolina was his first official. He's got all these summer official visits to Clemson, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Ohio State. So, it like, sandwiched in between all those, if it's like, oh, here's David Sanders at the cookout this summer. Good, you know, that doesn't mean they'll get him, mm-hmm. but I think that needs to happen. I think he needs to come back this summer again.
I like the setting the bar quotes. That's always good.
Yes.
The only thing I think I text you this is I would also like to reset the bar at the end. Like, is there a way to get him on two officials?
No, unlimited officials nowadays for prospects, but only one per school still. So
yeah, I mean, if you want to play by the rules, I guess. But we don't limit ourselves here on the big board experimental thought train.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, we're just like physics. Like, in theory, it's possible. So, you know, it's up to the coaches and NIL people and things like that to make these things happen and bring the big board to life. That's really what we need to do. Yeah. You know, we need to take this into reality.
Yeah, so we're trying to manifest. Look at those names add up. I like that. Yep. I got a couple more for you.
Okay, let's add these.
All right. An original big board member, like from the jump, Jalen Gilchrist.
Okay, it's a good O-line. One.
We need to stack some O-line recruits here, and I like the position we're in with him there. I do like Juan Gaston.
So does everybody else?
Yeah, yep. He seems to be 6'9", 380. So that will be fun. I feel like Carolina was in there early, and now like there's a ton of teams, especially whenever I see the G, you know, that's always yeah. fun. Yeah. Jonte Gilbert. That's
a good one.
That's an original. And then picking steam up here. I'm jumping around, but just scrolling through here. We're not doing Elijah Griffin. I know people love it, but I'm not going to do that to myself and others.
Yes.
If it happens,
he was on for sure for a time, but he's been he's been removed from the board. He's been taken off. You know how NFL teams will just take a guy off the board for whatever. Like, he's just been taken off the board.
Yeah, like so. Character concerns. Except this time, it's dog.
Yeah.
He was for sure. I mean, him and David Sanders were probably the first members of said board when they were getting started. Like, I don't know, it was sophomore year or something when the visit started happening.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued by Kevin Wynn. You might need to shed a little light there. I don't know if that's how realistic that is, but basically, and I've texted you this. I don't know how Shane's sleeping because I've been up every night thinking about defensive line recruiting. I don't know, like. Ever since a couple of years ago, I'm just wondering where these guys are going to come from. And Georgia's, you know, kind of just wrecking my life.
Well, I feel like I just had a funny, like, so you got the baby, and so your wife's like, Kev, you know, your turn. I'm sorry, can you take this one too? Because I'm sitting here thinking about how we're going to get any penetration against Tennessee, you know, with our defensive line. You know what I mean? Like,
you can't hand me the baby when you know I'm not focused. Like, wait till I've gone through my thing about, okay, I see, you know, some developmental people coming in. Let me get through that. And then I'm like, okay, I'll feed them this bottle. That's fine. There's some other guys, like I mentioned, at the receiver spot. I don't know how heavy we're in. This was the 3 weeks of my guy from who's now at Georgia. What's his name? The coach.
Oh, Coley. Yeah, James Coley.
Coley had us in the game with Peterkin, Shamarius Peterkin. A-plus name, North Carolina.
Great name.
And then I think that was pretty fastly removed from the board.
I'm gonna make an executive decision since I control the actual writing of the board. We're not going to put him on there.
Yeah. I have not heard a thing since. So he's not been on the board. Tayshaun Alston was on there early. He seemed to have some reciprocating interest with Carolina.
We'll put him on there. He's taking an official this summer. Linebacker out of North Carolina. Could play edge, could play linebacker. I'm going to put Kevin Wynn on here. Unfortunately, Kev, Georgia is recruiting him as well, and he fits the profile of huge monster that they like to recruit. And he is taking an official to South Carolina this summer. So you know, we'll see. So I'll put him on here as well.
All right. I do like, as far as DBs go, to dip back in that room, Christopher Hatfield.
Okay.
Heard some noise there. I like that we were relatively early. That's another 6'3", just long defensive back. I feel like you give Torian Gray some measurables there and some want-to. He obviously knows who he wants.
Yep.
So if he's on a guy, I feel pretty comfortable that they're going to be productive and develop. Just running down the list here. That's a strong start. Running backs, I have no idea.
I don't either. I was thinking about that. You know, they've taken a swing on Todd Robinson from Valdosta. He was at the spring game. But other schools have also noticed that he is talented. Not sure that there's going to be a great chance there. He is scheduling some officials, so let's see. No, Auburn's going to get one. I think Georgia's going to get one. We'll see if the Gamecocks can get one. I think, you know, if you're going to big board it, I mean, I think you can put Todd Robinson on there. I just don't know. He's at least visited, you know. He's not like a complete pie in the sky.
That's my guy. There.
Yeah.
Pie in the sky is my guy, Usman Chroma.
Yes. I agree. I think that's probably pie in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have been fun.
He would be.
He would have been fun. You'll have to tell me about my guy, Onis Cannon Manny.
Yeah, Onis, you know, we can put him on there, Kev. I just, you know, that's kind of like if a guy is like, if you're like, that guy's going in the top 10 of the draft and we're picking at 32 type of thing, you know, like, don't feel like you can make that up. But we'll put him. We'll have him there for good measure.
Also, to head back to the D-line, the Charles Power special, Jaquavius Dodd.
Okay.
That's going to hit a bunch of that's hitting in-state. That's hitting amazing name. That's hitting measurables. The guy's 6'5", 6'6".
Yep.
So, and that's hitting the Charles Power special. I don't think we can look past that. I mean, that's proven very fruitful over the last couple of years. So
it has proven fruitful. We will put him on there. Gamecocks have not offered yet, but man, ooh, I kind of got a feeling that they might, but we'll see. We'll see this spring. We'll see this summer. Quantrell knows what's up, man. Bringing up Jaden Breaker. That's what, look into Jaden Breaker. Is he already on there, Kev? 6'4".
I was about to say, I did. Yeah, I read him, clicked on the link. I do like that. Jaden Breaker,
we'll add him. My board is about full. Here it is.
That's
not great planning. I did, you know, we added a few more names, and I don't have a backside of the board.
It's good.
So we're not going to write on that because that'd be permanent.
We'll fill it up.
Yeah, we filled up the board, so that's a good start. We'll take a picture of this because, full disclosure, I might need that board. For some other things,
I would assume
I'll take a picture. We'll update it, and then we'll get you back in here to see how we're doing with the board acquisitions from your list at some point. So, all right, man, this has been fun. I'm gonna let you go get out of here and attend to matters of drawing and babies.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, and make sure you go check out kevdraws.com and make sure you buy the Bluff Road t-shirt. Honestly, if you want to buy it from kevdraws.com, that's outstanding, or you can get it from the Gamecock Central shop as well, shop.gamecockcentral.net. So help support Kev and what he does. Appreciate you, man. This has been fun. We'll have to do it again.
It's been amazing. Everything I'd hoped for, just being there on the tech society read, that was incredible.
Live, yeah.
Yeah. Checked a lot of boxes today. This has been good.
Yeah, big box check day for all of us. All right, man. It's been fun, Kev. Appreciate you. Hope everyone has a great rest of the week. See y'all later. Till next time.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.